I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Yes, I trust you know why we are here. Of course, we are here to worship the one true living God. And then, of course, we are here also to collectively witness for the truth that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is indeed alive, that we have a living Savior. We want to tell the world, as a group here, that our Savior is alive, and we would love to invite them to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. I trust we understand that this is the purpose of our coming together to worship the one true living God. Now this morning my subject is No More Children Tossed to and Fro. Now I'm of course talking about Christians who have not matured in the faith and are behaving like children, easily tossed to and fro. Now weekly, we meet as a local church, as we said earlier on, as part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, to worship the one true living God. And then we are here also to fellowship with one another, not just to make friends, not just to renew our friendship, of course we do that, but our primary purpose is also to encourage one another in the most holy faith, to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. And that's why we are here, assembled together to worship the one true living God. But let us also understand one very, very important truth, and that is the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we in the Bible Presbyterian Church, in Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church, are a part, is growing. The church universal is growing. And one day this church is going to be fully grown. I'm not talking about just this church, but the universal church, the church universal of which we are a part. One day the church universal will be fully grown. It is going to be the perfect man, as stated for us in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4. And then as individuals of this church, like you and me, that on that day we will have reached the full spiritual stature which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has appointed for us to be in. Now, when will this happen? When will the church become a perfect church? When will we reach this full spiritual stature in which the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed us? Now, when will this happen? Now, we look at verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 4. Till we come in the unity of the faith and in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. Yes, now the church will be perfect when we arrive at this unity of faith and this unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. The day will come, my dear friends, when we will have perfect unity of the faith, when all of us will be believing in the same things. Yes, on that day we will be believing in the same things, and on that day our knowledge of the one true living God will be perfect. Our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will be perfect. But of course we have not attained that stage yet, and the church is not fully grown yet, the church is not the perfect man yet. But today what we do know is that we have taken the first step towards this unity of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now believers today in the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in exactly the same way. That's the unity that we have begun in. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in exactly the same way, through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we have the same Savior. That's the unity that we have. We have the same Savior, same salvation, and we are justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the same Jesus Christ, and justified by Him alone. Now, we may differ in creeds and in church practices. For example, between us, let's say, Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists and so forth, we may differ in creeds and in church practices. But the fundamentals of our faith are the same, my dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, and that He is one person. He has got two natures, the human nature and the divine nature, 100% God, 100% man. And we believe that He is prophet, priest, and king. And we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We do not believe that the Bible contains the Word of God, but we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. But the day will come, my dear friends, when we will come in the unity of faith, which means that all of us on that day, although today we differ in creeds and in church practices, all of us will be believing in exactly the same things. Yes, the day will come. Now then, the day will come also when we come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. In other words, on that day, our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be perfect. You will have perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will have perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer in another church, yes, true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, will also have perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have perfect unity of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when will this happen? And this will happen when we see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, when we shall be like Him. But in the meantime, yes, in the meantime, we have not, of course, reached the state of perfection yet. The church is not perfect yet. The church has not become a perfect man yet. But in the meantime, if we are true believers, we must have this desire to grow. We must have this desire to grow in faith, and we must have this desire to grow in knowledge. Now, do you have this desire to grow in faith and to grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, if you are a true believer, you must have this desire. You say, I don't have this desire. But friends, if you are a true believer, you must want to grow. Yes, this is a good test of whether we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ or not. If we have this holy desire in us to grow and to have greater knowledge of the Lord and to have greater faith in Him, my dear friends, we have no doubt that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this knowledge that we are talking about is not just head knowledge, but it is also experiential knowledge, or rather, more importantly, it is experiential knowledge. We will want to know more and more of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will want to know more and more of the power of being able to walk in newness of life. We will want to know more and more of the power of being able to overcome sins. And we want to know more and more of the power of being able to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we would want to know more and more of how or what it means or to share in the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to know more and more what it means to suffer for the cause of the gospel. My dear friends, if we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have this desire to grow until the church becomes perfect. Now, do you have this desire? Friends, it's very important that we have this desire, because if we have this desire, it is very, very indicative that we are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's put it negatively, what it means to grow. Now, negatively, what it means to grow is that we must not be children spiritually. Negatively put, we must not be children spiritually. And so we read in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the question is, why did Paul say that we henceforth be no more children? Now, why did Paul compare us to children to drive home the point that we are not to be spiritually immature? Why did he compare us with children? Now, the reason is that children have certain characteristics which are typical of people who are spiritually immature. That is why Paul compares us with children. And so he says that we henceforth be no more children.
Now, what are characteristics of children? Yes, that are so reflective of the characteristics of immature Christians. First, children are like the waves. The Apostle Paul says, the children are like waves which are tossed to and fro. You know what waves are like? Waves keep tossing to and fro. Waves appear to be very, very restless. They are moving all the time. Aren't children like that? My dear friends, they are like waves, tossing to and fro. Children are very, very unstable. Isn't it true? Very, very fickle. Now, I thank the Lord that the Lord has sent a good number of children to this church. Now, it is really a great joy to observe them. I don't know about you, but I love to observe them. It's such fun to watch them. And it just amazes you how unstable and how fickle children can be. One moment they seem to be so desirous of a certain toy or a certain kind of food. But the moment they get hold of the toy, they seem to lose interest in it very, very quickly. Isn't it very true? And at one moment they could be laughing, and the next moment they could be crying. Now, do you mind them behaving that way? Do you? I don't mind. Yes, I don't mind them behaving that way. You know why? Because they are children. That's why. They are expected to behave that way. If they don't behave that way, they are not children. Yes, but friends, they must not continue to behave that way forever. Yes, they must grow up. And when they grow up, they must grow out of that kind of behavior. If they don't grow out of that behavior, then something is very, very seriously wrong with them. Now, but sadly, there are Christians who don't grow in the faith. They just don't grow. Like children, they are very fickle, they are very unstable spiritually. Paul told the Christians at Ephesus, grow up. Don't be unstable. Don't be fickle like children. Don't be like waves that are tossed to and fro. There's that one church that Paul ministered to was one that was really very, very fickle-minded, very unstable. It was the church in Galatia. Paul ministered to this church for some time. But not long after he departed from that church was influenced by false teachers, influenced by false teachings, and they were swayed by those false teachings. Now, these false teachers were were known as the Judaizers. They were Judaizers. They were people who came in to teach the Christians that if they wanted to become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they must first of all become Jews. They must observe the Jewish religious rites. For example, they must be circumcised first of all before they could become Christians. And then, in fact, what they were doing was they were drawing Christians back to what is known as salvation by works and not salvation by faith. Now, that kind of teaching, of course, was erroneous. And they were being drawn back. They were very fickle-minded. But earlier on, when the great Apostle Paul was with them, they sincerely believed in the teachings that were given by the great Apostle Paul. In fact, they loved Paul so much. They believed so Paul so much, and they loved him so much, they were very, very prepared to be sacrificial for him. And this was what Paul said about them, how much these people love him. He said this of them. He said, "You received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. You treated me like an angel," Paul was saying to them. "Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You see, when Paul was with them, they loved Paul so much, they listened to him so much, and they say they were so sacrificial that Paul said, "You know, I bear you record, I witness this truth that you were even willing to pluck out your eyes to give your eyes to me if it were possible for you to give me your eyes. But what has happened now? Am I become your enemy because I teach you the truth?" You see how fickle these people were. And then in Galatians 4, 6 and 7, Paul says this, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from God that call you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." You see, they were so easily moved. So soon after Paul left,
they were taken away, moved away from the one true living God that called them to believe in the true gospel. But they were moved away to believe in another gospel, which is not another, because there is no such a thing as another gospel. Paul said, you are so fickle. Now, how fickle and how unstable spiritually the Christians at Galatia were. Are we like that, friends? Are we like that? Now, I ask you this question, I think I asked you before, but let me ask you this question again. What happens if someone today comes into this church and preaches another doctrine? Let us say he's one who is very persuasive, very dynamic in his preaching, very, very captivating, charismatic in the way he preaches. Now, would you be swayed by him? Would you be? I hope you won't say, no, I will never be swayed by such a person. I hope you will never say that, but rather, I hope you'll be very, very prepared to humble yourself to say this. Lord, please, Lord, teach me and build me up so that I will be discerning and not be taken away by false teachers. Help me, Lord, so that I will not be a child in the faith and be so childish and be liable to be tossed to and fro. I trust that will be your prayer, my dear friends. Yes, remember about the Christians at Galatia. They were taught by someone who was no less than the great Apostle Paul, who was shown direct revelations by the one true living God. And yet, they were swayed. What about you? You are taught by me, a very ordinary preacher. Would you not be taken away? My dear friends, you might be taken away also. So don't be so confident that you will never be taken away. So let's be willing to humble ourselves. Now, I know of one church that employed a young man to assist in the ministry in the church. Now, he was really a very quiet fellow, and he was not at all charismatic, all right? No personality. If you look at him, you say, this guy had no personality. Yes, and he was not eloquent. But over a couple of years, you know, he was able to teach a group of young people. He was able to influence them to believe what he taught. And what he taught was not the same as what the church believed in. But the young people were swayed by him. And then after a couple of years, when he left the church, you know what happened? This group of young people left the church with him because they were swayed by him. My dear friends, would you be fickle and unstable like this group of young people? Or are you holding fast to the doctrines that you have been taught? Now, even a person who is not that charismatic, not that powerful in his preaching, not so eloquent, can be of great influence. Yes. So remember that. Don't be so confident that we will never be taken away. But today, let's pray that we be very, very steadfast in the faith, so that when we are exposed to false teachings, we will not be taken away. Let us grow up, friends. Grow up into the stature that God wants us to be in. Now, another characteristic that we see in children is that they lack self-control. Now, if they want a thing, they want it fast, and they want it immediately, isn't it true? And I'd say that most children are very, very self-centered. They really don't care how much mom and dad have to go through, what length they have to go to get what they want. Yes, when they want it, they want it. And very often, they want it immediately. And when it comes to eating, if they want to have it, they'll demand for it. And they have no self-control. I dare believe that that's the reason why there are so many obese children in Australia. They make their demands, parents are very accommodating, and they grant the children what they want. Now, children really have no self-control. Now the question is, are we lacking in self-control spiritually? Are we like children, lacking in self-control? If we are, friends, we are really little children in the faith. Childish in the faith, not childlike in the faith, but childish in the faith. Now, if we are growing in the faith, one of the things that must happen to us is that we will be showing forth the fruit of the Spirit, even love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. And temperance means self-control. If we are growing in the faith, we will be showing forth self-control. And if we don't have self-control, what will happen to us? We will be yielding to the lusts that are in us, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You look at this man, Samson, who was one who was physically strong. He was endowed by God's mighty Holy Spirit to have supernatural strength, but spiritually, he was like a little child. He was a dwarf spiritually. He had no self-control at all. The woman he saw, the women he saw, he must have. So we read this of Samson in Judges 14, verse 1, I read for you. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. You see, he saw this Philistine woman, and he went back to his parents' place and said, get her for me to wife. Now, the children of Israel were not supposed to intermarry with the heathen. And here he was a heathen woman, a Philistine. And here was Samson wanting to get her to wife. And he was very, very demanding. And then in Judges 16, verse 1, then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. You see, for him it was always a case of, I came, I saw, and I must have. That was Samson. Yes. He succumbed to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and that brought his downfall. Finally, seduced by Delilah, a Philistine woman, he revealed to her the secret of his strength. You see, his parents, Samson's parents, had made this vow on his behalf that he would become a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite would be one who was wholly dedicated unto the Lord for his service. And Samson was dedicated unto the Lord by his parents to serve the Lord for the rest of his life. He was to be a Nazarite. And as a Nazarite, one of the things that he must never do was to cut his hair or to shave his hair. But friends, this man revealed his secret to Delilah. The secret of his strength was in the length of his hair, because God made it so. And the moment his hair was cut, he lost his strength. Now, Delilah, of course, was a greedy woman. She wanted money, and she sold his secret to the Philistines. So the Philistines cut Samson's hair, and then Samson was captured, and then he was blinded. But God was very, very merciful to him. God intervened. God restored to him his eyesight and restored him his strength. He was still blind. But with that strength restored, he was able to destroy the Philistines. But in the process of doing so, he died in the destruction of the Philistines. Now, physically and chronologically, mentally, we might be grown up. Yes, grown-ups. That is why we are able to carry out the social and physical responsibilities that we have. And in the church, we might also seem to be serving the Lord in a very, very active way. Yes, but our service is nothing but activities upon activities. But in truth, my dear friends, we might be people who do not have self-control. We succumb easily to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We are proud. What we want, we must have to satisfy our lust. We are still children spiritually. Outwardly, we might appear to have grown, but inwardly, we are children. We are childish. We have not grown in the faith. Yes, if we lack self-control, that is what we are. We have not grown. Now, the next characteristic of children is that they are quite disorderly. Now, you go into a children's playroom, you go to any children's playroom for that matter, what do you see normally? I tell you, chances are you'll see a mess. Yes, all things are thrown all over the places. And if children are not supervised, they can become very, very chaotic. You see, among them, there is no such a thing as a leader. And of course, if there is no such a thing as a leader, they have no understanding of what respect for leadership is. They have no understanding of that. Now you see, the church at Corinth was very, very childish. Yes, it had not grown up. This was the church that the Apostle Paul ministered to, and it was one that was very disorderly. The church was divided into several groups. And there were people in the church who were very, very proud. They were proud of the spiritual gifts that God had given to them. And there were those who were able to speak in tongues, and there were those who were able to perform miracles. Yes, and then gifted with the gift of tongues, the church was really quite disorderly in that at the spiritual meetings, it's not just one or two persons wanting to speak. Many people would want to speak. And the worst thing was, they were all speaking in tongues. Now, can you imagine a situation like this in our church? Today, of course, I'm the only one speaking, but suppose four or five people want to speak at the same time at the worship service. I say, this will be a very chaotic service. Yes, and everybody speaks in tongues. Nobody knows what the other person is talking about. So, friends, that was the situation in the church at Corinth. And then apparently in those days, the Lord's Supper was also observed in conjunction with an eating feast. Yes, they celebrated the Lord's Supper, but the Lord's Supper was celebrated in a very, very chaotic manner. You see, there were some people who came to the feast and who ate a lot. Yes, and the other people were hungry. The rich people came and they ate, they didn't care about the poor. And worse still, there were those people who came to the feast and they drank and they got drunk at the feast. Can you imagine? It was supposed to be a worship service. They were supposed to partake of the Lord's Supper and they became drunk. And then there were women in the church who didn't know their position as prescribed by the Word of God. They wanted to usurp the authority of the men in the church. So you see how chaotic that church was. Yes, very disorderly. Because it was an immature church. Yes, they had not grown in the faith. Now, one of the signs of maturity in the church is that there is order in the church. Members are respectful of one another. They would, in honor, prefer others better than themselves. They are respectful of authority, particularly if they know that those people who are in leadership are people who are trying very, very hard to serve, even though they might not be very talented, but they try very hard to serve. Now, people in that kind of church will not want to do their own thing. They will not come to church with their own agenda. They would want to be, they are very, very concerned about the oneness of the church. They are very, very concerned about the unity of the church. Now, I have heard of some churches in which people have their own program, and I told you about such people in some churches. Yes, they have their own program, they have their own agenda. So, for example, they would run their Sunday school independent of the church leadership. They fail to understand that the purpose of the Sunday school is to teach children to grow in the faith and to teach the children how to worship the one true living God with other members in the church. They fail to understand that. And so they run the Sunday school independently of the church leadership. And what's the result? The result is they operate the Sunday school like a church within a church. You see how chaotic such churches are. And such churches are really very, very immature in the faith. Disorderly, they have not grown. Let's be very, very careful, my dear friends, when we serve. Let us be sure that we observe orderliness. This is a characteristic of good spiritual growth. Orderliness. Now, another characteristic of children is described in this manner in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They are carried about with every wind of doctrine. We're talking about immature Christians, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And this means that they are liable to be deceived. And you know how easily children may be deceived. Children may be lured away. Children may be tricked. You know how easy for children to be taken away, to be misled. And that is why year after year in Australia, we hear of reports of missing children. Children taken away. I think I told you this before. One time I saw this on television of a show
which was actually about an experiment that was conducted on children in regards to how easily they would be taken away. There was this child that was intentionally left by her mother to be at the play area, and she went into the supermarket, yes, and then she was observing her child to see what happened. And this was, of course, produced by the television channel. And then there was this woman who pretended to be an old lady. She was not old, but she pretended to be an old lady, dressed up like an old lady. She approached this child and asked the child to help her. And you guess what? This child immediately rose up and helped her. She walked along with her to help her. You see how easily the child was lured away by this woman. How easily they are tricked. How easily they are misled. Yes? Now, if this was not a mock-up situation, that poor mother would have lost the child immediately. Now, why are children so easily misled? Now, children are easily misled because they are not mature enough to have discernment. They don't know enough of the wickedness of men, and so are totally unable to judge between what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And because they are not discerning, they are very, very trusting. Now, spiritually, I ask you, will you be easily misled? I say you will, or you may be easily misled, unless you have a sound knowledge of the Word of God. I said this in time past, I say it again, I ask you again, have you gone through the basic Bible knowledge class? Have you? Now, the basic Bible knowledge class is good because it gives you the foundation of the truth of the Word of God, the truth of our doctrines. So I urge you to participate in the basic Bible knowledge class. Have you been making use of the read and pray growth notes that our Bible Presbyterian churches in Singapore produce? Have you been using them? I trust you have been using them. They will help you to understand the Word of God and build you up in the faith. Then I ask you, why don't you come and participate in the Sunday Bible study after the worship service? What are you doing after the worship service? Yes, why don't you come and participate rather than to spend time talking and not doing anything profitable? Why don't you come and participate in the Sunday Bible study and build yourself up in the faith? And why don't you come and participate in the Westminster Confession of Faith? Now, we meet just once per month. I wish we can meet for more times, but we meet only once per month, yes, on a Saturday. And the Westminster of, you know, study of the Westminster of Faith, we study the very, very basic fundamental doctrines of our faith. Yes, very, very good study. Although it's basic and fundamental, the study is really very, very in-depth. I urge you to come. Study the Westminster Confession of Faith and build yourself up in the faith. Now, these are the means provided by our church to help you grow in the Word of God so that you will not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, children are also easily misled because they love novelty. In other words, they love new things. They like changes. When they get a new toy, what do they do with the old toy? Chances are they will throw the old toy away, or they won't play the old toy anymore. Now, years ago, when I was a new Christian, I was very susceptible to being misled. I was very young in the faith at that time. My pastor was a preacher who always seemed to be preaching the same old messages. And week after week, I would be listening to him. And then, you know, sometimes I felt as if he was droning, you know. And I asked myself, I said, why can't he finish his messages in half an hour? And actually, he could have finished his messages in half an hour, in my mind, I said, half an hour. But then he has to extend his message for another 50 minutes just to fill out the time. So I said, wow, my pastor, why does he need to do that? Then, one day, came an American preacher. He was invited to preach in our church. Now, he was a very, very powerful, dynamic speaker from the pulpit, and he was very, very persuasive, a very exciting preacher. Was I captivated by his preaching? I must say, I was almost captivated by his preaching. Thankfully, I knew enough of our
basic doctrines to know that there was something not quite right about his doctrines. Now, why was I nearly captivated? Now, I was nearly captivated because this preaching was very, very novel. And his style of preaching was something that I never saw before. Very exciting, very dynamic. Now, my dear friends, now as I look back and think of my pastor who taught me in the earlier years, I'm very, very thankful to the Lord that he provided such a pastor to me. Yes, he was very, very faithful in his preaching. He might have sounded dull in his preaching, but he was teaching us the truth. He was teaching me the truth. Now I look back, I'm very, very thankful that the Lord provided such a man to teach us. Friends, don't be like children who are always looking for new things, right? I hope you are not doing that. You know, Spurgeon says this about the gospel. He says, there is nothing new in the gospel. If it is new, you can be sure it is heresy. Nothing new in the gospel. So don't expect to hear new messages every Sunday from here. No, it is not going to happen. Because if it is something new, it is not the gospel. And then listen to what the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for what? Ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Ask for the old paths. Don't ask for the new paths, but old paths. Ask for the old things. The true gospel of the faith. And then there were people in those days who said, we will not walk therein. Of course they were immature in the faith, or they were unbelievers, so they said, we will not walk in those things. My dear friends, I trust that all of us here are not always wanting to look for things that are novel, but let us go back to the good old gospel. That's the truth, my dear friends. Let's go back to it. Now, what is it that carries immature Christians about? Look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, what is it that carries immature Christians away, or carry Christians, immature Christians about? It is every wind of doctrine. Now, from which direction does the wind blow? Now, we know that the wind can blow from any direction. It can blow from the north, it can blow from the south, it can blow from the east, it can blow from the west. And isn't it true? We get false teachings and evil influences today from all directions. All these come from all directions. We get false teachings from the cult. Now, false teachings from the cult, the cult is out there. We get false teachings from them. But such teachings are easily identifiable. You know a Mormon when you see one. Isn't it true? You know a Jehovah's Witness when you see one. Now, these are winds from the outside. They are dangerous, but not that dangerous, because they are identifiable. But it is winds from inside the church that pose the greatest danger to the immature Christian. It is the wind of what? The wind of charismatism today. The wind of the prosperity gospel that are very subtle and dangerous. The problem is this. These teachings sound so true. They sound so good, sound so true. There is a high percentage of truth in these teachings. But then the truths are also mixed with untruths. That's the problem, friends. And the problem with such teachings is that they can lead a person into believing that he is saved when in fact he's not saved. Now that is the most dangerous thing about such teachings. Yes, the prosperity gospel and the charismatism that we hear so much about today. Yes, that's the danger in the teachings of these two kinds of thinkings. Now, these teachings can make their inroads into churches through what? Through things that are apparently harmless, such as music. Now, let us be careful, be very, very watchful what kind of music we are having in the church. Is it giving us a watered down gospel? Be very, very sensitive about this. Is it giving us a watered down gospel? Is it giving us a corrupt gospel? Is this kind of music detracting us from the worship of God? Is it causing us to be very, very self-centered? My dear friends, look at this music. Study the words. Hear the kind of music. If it causes us to be very self-centered, if it detracts us from the worship of God, reject that kind of music. It is not godly music. It's going to take you away from the truth. Friends, the winds can today come from inside the home also. We can get these winds from the net. In fact, you can get these winds from anywhere today. Yes, from the net, you can get lots of false information. You can get lots of false teachings. And don't think that you will never be influenced by them. I told you before, I gave you an example before. Even leaders, elders in the Bible Presbyterian Church could be taken away by false teachings that they read from the net. Now, if such people who are supposed to be leaders in the church can be taken away, what about you? Yes, you think that you will be so strong that you will never be taken away. My dear friends, let's be very watchful. We may be taken away also. So the question is, how can we fortify ourselves against such winds? How? Grow up. No other way, friends, grow up. Don't be children spiritually. How? As I said, there is no shortcut. We must study the Word of God. Now, apart from the worship service, at which you hear God's word, I urge you to participate in our basic Bible knowledge class. I urge you to participate in our Sunday Bible study. I urge you to participate in our prayer meeting. I urge you to study the Westminster Confession of Faith with us. I urge you to make use of the RPG notes. I urge you to join the Ladies Bible Fellowship. If you are university students, I urge you to join the University Fellowship. Now, then for all of us, adults, I urge you to join the Agape Gathering meetings, North and South. Young people, I urge you to join the Youth Fellowship meeting. Then, by whom may immature Christians be deceived? By the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Of course, my dear friends, by whom may immature Christians be deceived? By false teachers, of course, by their crafty methods, they lie in wait to deceive. In other words, they have a plan, yes, and they deceive in a systematic manner. Now, by the sleight of man has the idea of throwing the dice. A trickster has two sets of dice. He has one of which he makes use of to deceive. And by the quickness of his hand, he will roll the set of dice that he makes use of to deceive. And those people who are not watchful, those people who are undiscerning, will be deceived. Do you believe that there are such people out there, friends? Yes? You can be very, very sure that there are such people out there. So we in the church here must be very, very vigilant. If we are not vigilant in next to no time, yes, you could have a false teacher coming into this church, and with his deceptive schemes, he can easily take away those who are not discerning, those who are immature in the faith. Now, dearly beloved in the Lord, it is God's purpose that we grow up into the full stature that God wants us to be in. We are not to remain as little children in the faith, tossed to and fro. We are to grow up and to be stable in the faith. And we must show forth the fruit of the Spirit of having self-control. And we must learn how to be very, very orderly in the church. Yes, we need always to, in honor, prefer others better than ourselves. And we need to be well instructed in the faith, so that we will not be liable to be deceived by every wind of doctrine. Don't say that you will never be deceived. Now and then I hear people say this. They say, this is correct, this is true. Why? Because Elder Cole says so. Or Reverend Craig says so. Or Reverend Koshi says so. Or Dr. Jeffrey Koo says so. My dear friends, when I hear this, I fear for you. Yes, I would rather prefer that you say this. Oh, this is correct. Why? Because the Word of God says so. My dear friends, that should always be the thing that we should be aiming at. The Word of God says so, and not because I say so or somebody else says so. No, friends. Now, we must be very, very well equipped with the truth so that we may be able to identify false teachers when we see them. When they come into the church, we straight away know that they are false teachers. And how may we know that they are false teachers? No other way, friends. We will only know that they are false teachers if we are very, very well grounded in the truth. Have a good knowledge of the Word of God. Be very, very well grounded in the doctrines of the faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, O Lord, for your Word. Thank you, O Lord, for teaching us your truth. Help us, O Lord, that we may all grow up in the faith and not be like children, tossed to and fro and be easily carried out by every wind of doctrine. And Lord, we pray that we may not just desire but not take action to grow in the faith. Help us, O Lord God, to take action so that we may indeed grow in the faith. Give us the desire, the discipline to participate in all the various Bible studies that we have in the church. Lord, we pray that you will give us the discipline to make time to do so. Father, teach us to love your Word. We know that there is no other way for us to be kept in the most holy faith except that we may be well grounded in the truth. Lord, help us, we pray thee. In Jesus' name, Amen.